Bibles this morning, we'd like to share with you again out of the Acts of the Apostles, and I'll pick up at verse 10 and read down through verse 15 for your consideration. The Bible reads in Acts, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he have done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he have authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." But the Lord said unto him, "Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." The base of those verses, we'd like to use a thought of subject this morning: the day God communicated deliverance in a vision. The day God communicated deliverance in a vision. If you ask for it and you have not got it just yet, just know that it's on the way. Hallelujah to the name Jesus. I like the way it started out. God is up to something. Hallelujah. That is very befitting, and it actually is very intact with our text for today. For we don't know how God is going to do what God does, but we do know that God has a plan for the things that he wants to have done. And there are times that we don't quite understand because we see things out of the natural eye, where God sees them from the spiritual perspective. And so because of his divine providence, he is able to do whatever it is that he wants to do. He can use whoever he wants to use. He can call whomever he wants to call. And it does not matter who says anything or think whatever you want to think about it. God is still the one in control. So we are thankful to God. I thank God for our spiritual help this morning, our ministers of the gospel that are sharing with us this morning, for it's always good to have some help. And it's good to know and to be in a mindset that to know that you cannot do everything all by yourself. I am so glad that God has blessed us and brought us to a place in life and in ministry where we know that we are in it together and we are working together as one body in the Spirit of Christ. And we come this morning because this is a day that God has allowed us to be together. It's a day where God has shown his grace and he's allowed us to live throughout another week's journey. Found out that it was by his will that he woke us up this morning and we were still yet counted amongst the living. By his power, we can do all things. So we ought to be glad to be able to come into the house this morning. And I thank God for the choir that even though you're short in number this morning, you are still singing to the glory of God. We have those that are traveling this morning. We have people that are going through and getting ready for physical things. And so we just pray their strength in the Lord, because that's the thing, is that you don't never know when you're going to have to be out. You can have good intent and you might want to be here, but conditions and circumstances sometimes may make things different than what you have in your mind. And so those of us that have gone through, those of us that have ever been down and God has picked us back up, we know that as our other loved ones go through, we have to encourage them. Let them know that the same God that brought me up, he'll bring you up. Same God that took care of me, the same God that cleared my mind out when the enemy tried to get your mind all crowded and make you think that the Lord wasn't hearing you. You got to let that enemy know God is up to something and God's going to do what needs to be done. All you got to do is get ready. And I don't know about you, but you ought to have been ready when you got here this morning. God allowed us to see his precious sunshine. God has allowed us, even on a hot day on yesterday, to feel a nice cool breeze every now and again. And that just lets us know that God is still God. You can't do nothing with God. The Lord is worthy of all of our praises. And we ought to be glad that he is such an understanding and such a merciful God. It's a good thing to know him, and even better to have a mind to serve him. When we think on the words that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, where would we be? Without him, we would be most miserable and lost. But because of him this morning, we got joy. Because of him this morning, we got peace. Because of him this morning, we got the hope of a better day coming. And so I love that song, that there's a better day coming. And, you know, you may go through some things on this day, but you ought to pray that God would change the situation and God would turn some things around. The Bible declares that this world is not our home. We have another building that is not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And so we find that we are only here temporarily. We didn't come here to stay. And the fact of the matter is that when the Bible declares and talks about this other building that is not built with hands, he's not necessarily talking about that building or this building, but he's talking about this building. So as we found out that our houses have began to dissolve, but we can still rejoice in the fact that we do have another building. God has a way of taking us, and when we don't feel like we can do it, God can give and renew our strength. You remember the saints of old used to make a statement that my footsteps are going to get shorter, my eyes are going to grow dim, but one thing about it, as long as I got Jesus, I don't know how many of you are glad about that this morning, but you ought to be thanking God that everything is going to be all right. Anybody know that when you call on Jesus, as the choir say, something going to happen? You got to know that when I call on the name of the Lord, that whatever it is, no matter how hard it may seem to my mind, no matter how many times the naysayers may say it's not going to happen, if I give it to the Lord my God and I ask the Lord to do this, that, or the other, God is able to do what I need him to do. Now, the Bible declares and lets me know that with men, some things are impossible. But so even though Alexander loved me, there are some things that Alexander just cannot do. But if I call on the name of the Lord can do exactly what I need him to do. And I'm so glad that I can serve a God that he's none changing. He is the same every day. I love God. And I come this morning to encourage somebody to hold on and to hold out. I come to tell somebody in this house of worship this morning to tell the enemy to get behind you. I want to let you know that you got to learn how to fight your battle. First of all, you got to go down on bended knees. Then after going on bended knees, it's a good thing if you open up the Word of God. And I found the scripture in the Word of God that said that no weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Anybody know that the enemy is still out there? Anybody know that the enemy gonna do his job? He said, I'm going to and for seeking whom I shall devour. So I'm looking for somebody to tear up this morning. I'm looking for somebody to take your joy away. I'm looking for somebody to make you not believe that you got hope in the power of a loving God. I'm looking for somebody that the enemy has convinced that God is not going to hear your humble cry. Yes, you've done some wrong. Yes, you've sinned in your life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But how many witnesses do we have in the house this morning that God looked beyond my fault and blessed my very soul? How many know that I'm not where I used to be, but I thank God that one day I'm going to work in progress. You know, we can say this morning, look where he brought me from. There was a time everything somebody said I might believe, but I don't believe everything anybody got to say now. It's all right to be respectful, but sometimes you got to have a deaf ear. Everybody say they got some advice for you, you better watch them. The enemy is out using folk. Sometimes it's your very loved ones. Sometimes the one that you hold closest to your heart, those are the ones that don't want to see you succeed. Those are the ones that don't want to see you excel in life. Those are the ones that want you to have a pity party. There are those this morning that know that no matter what nobody say, God is yet still in control. We serve a God this morning that I declare to be a great God. And I'm a firm believer that the Lord will make a way somehow. All we got to do is have faith and trust in the power of a loving God. God is capable of doing anything. And he will do whatever it is that needs to be done. The Bible declared that he came that we might have abundant life. And it does not matter who we are, what we've done in life. He is able to help us change from our wicked ways. God is a God without respect to persons, and he can and will use whomsoever he desires. Sometimes the one that we think that God has no use for is the very one that God will show his glory and his power. Don't you know that there are those of us, self included, that hadn't been always a preacher, hadn't did everything right, even after being a preacher. But that there were some things that I found out in life, there were some things that I experienced in life that would help me to be able to be a better preacher. Say, I know that God will forgive sin. I know that God will make a way. I know that God can change a wretch and God can make you have a different mindset. Anybody realize that your mindset has to change? You can't be used by God if you allow yourself to be continued to be controlled by the enemy. The enemy want to make you think that because you're having a good time that everything is all right, but that's going to wear out after a while. But the things that God does for us, they will never go to pass. The things that God has for us always are going to be right there. So I come to share with somebody that you don't never need to underestimate the power and the plans of God. I believe that we have, all of us have some purpose in our life. There are those of us might say this morning, what can I do to help? What can I do? What is it that God wants me to do? If you want to know what God wants you to do, first of all, you got to pray to the Lord and you got to ask him, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? Then you got to understand that you don't have to be already saved and sanctified for God to use you. God will begin to change your mindset and change your attitude so that when you change from acting like a fool sometime, it'll make somebody that thought that you didn't know how to act realize that I don't have to act as crazy as I act. When you learn how to not run your mouth so much and get into everybody else's business and learn how to stay in your own lane, that'll let somebody else understand that I need to mind my own business. You stay out of their business, they'll stay out of yours. When we ask God, what is it that you would have me to do? Not only do we have to pray and ask God, but then if we've asked God, then we got to learn how to listen. We got to learn how to be obedient to do whatever it is that God wants us to do. Then we can't be choice. You know how sometimes you say, be careful what you ask for? Sometimes you ask for a little authority. You ask for a position, and with that position comes responsibility. With that position comes sacrifices. You got to sometimes sacrifice what you want to do because of what God wants you to do. As we look at the people in our life, that individual that is sitting beside you right now, there are many talents and many gifts, but all of them come, the Bible declares, from the self same spirit. Today, we want to deal with the ways that God communicates with us. One of the worst things that we have in the church of God is learning how to communicate. We got to understand that we are not mind readers, even though some of us think we know everything. Even though you think you know what Susie got on her mind, sometimes what you think is not what Susie is thinking about. Susie may have had a change of heart last night. And this morning she's not thinking about the thing that she thought about on yesterday. We got to learn that God wants us to understand one another. He says that we're not going to see eye to eye all the time, so we have to have a time to sit down and reason one with another. In that reasoning process, that means that we got to communicate one with another. I got to tell you or talk to you in a way to let you know this, what's on my mind. And then you got to respond back to me to let me know how you feel about what I said and what is your ideas about what I had to say. Communication is not one-sided. When we talk about communicating, we got to know that if I'm going to communicate with God, if I ask God for something, then I expect God to respond back to me in some manner, way or another. So how does God communicate with us? We have heard of how he speaks to us in a still, small voice. And as I prepared information for this message, I found that he also communicates with us through circumstances, the things that happen to us. That's a way that God communicates with us. There are those that would never, or probably would never, call on the name of the Lord unless they have some trouble in their life. But the circumstance that you're dealing with will make you say, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. That's a prayer right there. He speaks to us through the counsel of the written word. As we read the words of Proverbs, we can hear God speak if we listen to the words and comprehend what God is having to say. Then God communicates with us through peace. You know how it is when it seems like there's trouble somewhere. But then when you feel that peace down within, it's almost like God communicating with you that everything's all right now. So he also communicates with us through peace. Gives us the assurance that God is yet still God. Of course, we know that God communicates with us through people. Sometimes we want to hear it. Sometimes we don't. Then some of us, we got certain folk we'll listen to. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You ought to have some sense about who you're going to listen to. But then you can't always be so judgmental and put a wall up because that individual that God may have sent you a message to, you might have a deaf ear at the wrong time. How many of you know that God communicates with you through your thoughts? He make you think about what you done, think about what you said, think about what you got on your mind. Then the God that we serve is able to communicate with us through natural or supernatural manifestations. Then he speaks to us through the Bible. The one that we want to deal and dwell with this morning. God speaks to us and communicates with us through dreams and through visions. If we pay attention and follow up on what God tells us to do, even if it's just only reading the word of God, we got to learn how to be not only hearers of the word, but we got to be doers of the word. We got to know this morning as it deals with visions, that there are two men that received from God. One needed to be delivered. That one was chosen to be a vessel for kingdom building. A man that had been changed from his wicked ways. A man that had caused many to suffer, and one day he would reap his seeds of despair by having to suffer himself. When we look here in the book of Acts, in the 9th chapter, it deals with a man by the name of Saul. The Bible declared that Saul went out breathing threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Saul went around persecuting the people of God. One day, Saul went to the high priest and he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he would find any of the way, whether they were men, women, or children, anybody that was in Jerusalem that was lifting up the name of Jesus. Saul wanted the authority and the permission that as he went that he could persecute them and bring them back and let them know that you're either going to have to suffer or you're going to have to die. Isn't it a bad thing that when somebody is trying to lift up the name of Jesus, you got a man that is an educated man, a man that knows the laws of God, a man that knows the Bible, that want to declare, if you talk about the name of Jesus, I'm going to cut you up. You know how it is when somebody say that you don't have what you think you got. You know how it is when you say that I'm saved and I'm sanctified and they say that you ain't about nothing. You know those ones that say that all of your running is in vain. Those individuals that are called you a hypocrite just because they don't understand your ins and your outs. Just because you're not perfect, that don't mean that you're not on the Lord's side. The enemy would like to make some of you think that all of your running has been in vain. The Bible says Saul journeyed and he came to Damascus. And on his way down to Damascus, the Bible declared that suddenly there shone around about him a light that came down from heaven. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul, why are you going against me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus. I'm the one that thou persecutest. See, sometimes when you call your brother everything but your brother, you're talking about the Lord. That man, that woman was made by the dust of the same ground that you were made of. Same breath that is in his or her body abides in your body. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, whether we like it or not. Bible declares it said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he began to tremble and he was astonished and said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? This light is so bright and I know that you know me because you call me by name. And I hear this voice coming out of nowhere, out of this light. And this light is asking me, why am I persecuting Jesus the Christ? The Lord says unto him, arise and go into the city. And when you get there, it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, Saul was traveling with some men. The Bible says, and the men which journeyed with him, they heard a loud sound, but they didn't hear the words that Saul heard. When God speaks to you, God speaks to you. There are times when God is up to something. And God was up to something in the life of Saul on that day. He began to let Saul know that, Saul, I know exactly where you are. He began to let Saul know that I am in control of your very being. He began to let the men that were with Saul know that you hear sound, but you don't hear the voice that is coming out of the light. Saul rose up from the earth, and the Bible declared that when he got up, that his eyes was open, but he saw no man. What you think about when one minute you can see, and the next minute you cannot see? Who would serve a God that has that kind of power? I just stopped by Fowles Chapel this morning to let you know that God has a way to communicate. And God communicated to a man how he was going to be delivered. Not only was he going to be delivered from being blind by sight, but he was going to be being delivered from being a hateful man. He was going to get delivered from being a persecutor. He was going to be delivered from having judged upon somebody else. But the Bible said when he got up and he realized that for 3 long days, he didn't eat anything or he didn't drink anything. But the Bible declared that there was a man that got a vision. The man that was in Damascus, whose name was Ananias. And he said unto Ananias in a vision, Ananias. And Ananias said, Lord, here I am. I want to let you know you got to have an open ear to the power of the Lord. The Bible said the Lord said unto him, arise up, Ananias, and go and said unto Saul, go into the street, which is called Straight. When you get on that street in the house of Judas, one that is called Saul, you will see a man in there. And this man that will be in there, he will be blind from sight. But one thing about this man, he will be found praying to the power of God. And then he saw in a vision a man named Ananias. You see, sometime God will let you know, I got somebody coming your way. And I want to let you know to be open and receptive for a man by the name of Ananias. He's a man that you may not know. But this man is going to come in and lay his hands on you. This man is going to change you from some of the things that you've been going through. For now that you're blind, I know that when he lay hands on you, you will be able to see. See, I want to let you know that God has the power to give man a vision. And when you get the vision, you got to do what the Lord said do. First of all, he told Ananias, you got to have to go and you got to touch a man by the name of Saul. But Ananias say, I heard a whole lot about that man. He is a mean man. He is a persecutor of the people of God. I'm reminded what he did to the people at Jerusalem. And oh Lord, why do you want me to touch that man? I stopped by to tell somebody, when the Lord tells you to do something, don't question God, but you got to be obedient. You got to get up like Ananias did. Even though he may have had a certain fear about Saul, he did what the Lord told him to do. For he got down there on Straight Street and he stopped by Ananias by the house of God. When he got there at the house and he got in the house, he began to sit down there and he laid hands on the man of God. The man of God felt the power of God, and as he began to pray, the Lord God said in his word that this man had authority to take away all of the men. He made them suffer and he made them do some bad things. But I want to let you know what the Lord said. The Lord said he is a chosen vessel. It's my desire to have him because I'm going to change him. I'm going to deliver him. I'm going to make him carry my word. He's going to go and talk to the Jews. He's going to talk to the Gentiles. He's going to talk to the king. He's going to talk to the children of Israel. He's going to let them know that Jesus is alive. I'm going to let somebody know that when he laid hands on Ananias and Saul, when Ananias put his hands on Saul, all of a sudden the scales fell from his eyes. And where he was blind, now he can see. I thank my God right now that you got to take off your physical eyes. You got to put on your spiritual eyes. And Saul said, I want to be baptized. I want to have more power. Because Ananias said, not only did I come to heal you from your sight, but I come to fill you with the power of the Holy Ghost. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you will have power from on high. I just somebody tell somebody that God has a way to communicate in the Spirit of God. He can communicate in a vision. And Saul went about saying, I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that Jesus is alive. The Bible declares that then he went and got something to eat. He got strength in his body and he began to run on and see what the end gonna be. But the first thing at hand, he wanted to be baptized. And after he got baptized, he did what the Lord said do. He became a preacher to the Gentiles, to all the people of the land. God can change a wicked man and make him act like somebody. Saul realized that for 3 long days, I was blind and I could not see. But I heard and I saw in the vision that a man was coming And when the man got there and laid his hands on me, the man told me that not only are you going to receive your sight, but God wants me to give you the Holy Ghost. And after getting the Holy Ghost, you know how it is when you got it. Right. Things didn't look the way that they used to look. You didn't act the way that you used to act. You didn't think the way that you used to think. But things began to change. And after things began to change, he began to let go and let God have his way. Don't you know that God called this preacher a man that was a persecutor, an abuser, a man that didn't even really love God. But God changed him and gave him power to become his servant. When you think about Ananias, you can think of yourself. There are times when we say, Lord, why? Or Lord, this person is like this or like that. But God immediately put him in check and said, wait a minute. He's going to be a chosen vessel. I got a plan for this man's life. Whomever God wants to use, God will fix him up and put him in a position where he's qualified to carry the word of God. Not long after that, the disciples began to wonder, why? Or isn't this the one that was persecuted? We don't want to be bothered with him. But God will always give you an ally and somebody that'll speak up for you. Somebody knows that you've been changed and they don't mind telling the story. Are there those of you this morning that know that God has changed your whole mindset, gave you a new life, and the person you used to be, you are not that person anymore? It's only because the spirit and the power of a loving God.